with your choice of one side all night long. Stay up to date with all of our specials and events by visiting bluebirdbbq.com. And while you're there, you can easily view our restaurant and catering menus, book your table, and order takeout.
Bluebird Barbecue, 317 Riverside Avenue in Burlington.
101.3 ESPN Weather.
Tuesday afternoon, the temp inches into the mid and upper 20s with a light south wind. It's a mostly sunny day, but clouds start to roll in throughout the afternoon and evening. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low 20s. Wednesday, Valentine's Day, mostly sunny, quite a bit warmer, low 40s. Wednesday night into Thursday, light rain showers, mid to upper 40s. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm meteorologist Amanda Tebow, Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 30 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
Sports and sports talk for the Champlain Valley. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
Happy Tuesday, everybody out there in Burlington, Plattsburgh, and the rest of the Champlain Valley. It is a very happy Tuesday indeed. Pitchers and catchers have reported to Tampa in the Yankees case, Fort Myers in the Red Sox case. Alex Cora spoke to the media today for the Sox, as did pitcher David Price. Price said that he could have handled things better than he did a season ago. Talked about frustrations with injuries. Talked about signing J.D. Martinez. He says he's reached out to his former teammate in Detroit and has told him how much they'd love to have him in Boston. Could Malcolm Butler be headed out of New England? Well, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that he is, but where could he go? Well, the New York Jets will reportedly express interest in the Patriots' defensive back. And did you know that Dick Vitale will be the broadcaster of the Celtics game tomorrow? ESPN doing an announcer swap where the pro guys do a college game and the college guys do a pro game. Arnie is back. We're next on the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. We're always streaming, so take us anywhere, 101.3 ESPN app.
The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for today. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, Anson? What's going on?
Hell with me. I'm fine. Wow. How are you?
Oh, I was under the weather yesterday, man.
What's going on,
big boy? Big boy. I'm sorry. I missed it. I'm sorry about that. I was under the weather yesterday. I don't know. I didn't have a fever. So does that count as having the flu if you don't have a fever?
I don't know. I'm never sick.
Yeah.
You were either playing hooky or had a hangover.
No. I could have been hungover, but no, I was sick like Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So I don't think I could have been that
sick. What was the deal?
I don't know. You know, I just
were
like
you barfing up a lung?
No, or? I didn't barf.
Oh, okay.
Just my body was achy.
Well, so was mine, but my body's achy.
Your body's
every day.
Always achy. No, and like my head was a little spinny, but I didn't have a fever, but I was sweating through my t-shirts when I went to bed. And,
gross.
Yeah, it was
really.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel okay. I'm just a little, I'm worn down. You know what it is? I'm just worn down.
Well, that's because you've worked 490 days in a row.
I may have to give up that Saturday show.
Just don't give up this.
Yeah, just get rid of that Saturday thing. But I don't know. I feel a little bit better. Just my body's worn down. I went to my go-to sickness medicine today, my food thing. I go with a bologna sandwich and ginger ale. And since my wife wouldn't get it for me over the weekend, I remained sick. But since she left the house today, I got up and went to the market myself, got myself some ginger ale.
What a guy.
Bread, which, because we don't have bread in our house, I noticed. bologna, which we don't have that either.
Right.
And I noticed we don't have mustard either. And got all that stuff, and I feel 100 times better that I get to have ginger ale.
Is exactly what I eat. I have cheese with it. Do you have bologna and cheese?
No, I didn't put cheese on it.
Just bologna.
Just bologna.
How weird is that?
Yeah, that's all I wanted.
I swear we're the only two people who eat bologna in Vermont.
And I said, you know what? Sometimes I'll mix in. She wanted to make me mac and cheese. I didn't even like the way she makes mac and cheese.
How is it possible
I don't know.
To screw up mac
so
and
I said,
cheese?
Go to the market and get me the kind where you add the water and the powder dust.
Yeah.
I go, get me that mac and
you
cheese.
You mean the thing I eat every night of my life.
I go, I don't want you to cook it for me.
Right.
Just get me the one where I can add water because you're going to screw it up.
How can you screw up mac
I don't
mac
know.
And
she does. She does. I don't know. It's supposed to come out like orangey. It comes out another color when she does. I don't know what it is. So it's all I wanted the whole weekend. So I feel better now that I've got to, you know, medicate myself a little bit.
I don't
care
about your remedies. I only care about if you're playing hoop tonight.
Yeah. Now, what do we got going on tonight?
I thought you said you were not playing. Are you playing?
I don't know. Well, it depends because I know I'm the shutdown defender.
Right.
And I guess you guys are afraid of some guy named Stromboli or something like that.
Is it Mike Trimboli?
Mike Trimboli that played for UVM. Is that who this is?
He's in this league?
I've never played against him. So, yes, that is his name.
What are the stats on? First of all, when did this guy play for UVM?
Oh, my gosh. He's an all-timer.
Oh, so you know who he is.
Oh, he's a great guy.
You know this guy.
I've met him many, many times.
Oh, he may be a great guy. But, I mean, what kind of basketball player
is
he? I'm sure he's a loser.
I believe he is the all-time assist leader at the University of Vermont.
All-time assist leader, meaning that he can't make a bucket, so he had to pass it off to everybody else.
Except that he averaged 16 points over a four-year career. He's one of the greats in UVM basketball history.
83% from the line.
Then why was he dishing it out if he could average 16 points a game?
16 points a game, 3.4 rebounds, and 5 assists over a four-year career.
Not a good rebounder, obviously.
He's 6'1", 180.
Oh, so he's a small little guy.
He's not huge.
So I'm bigger than him.
In other words, he's in shape.
So of course
you're bigger than him. You got 100 pounds on him.
So Brady, I would have to guard him, right? I'm the lockdown defender.
He's gonna be like 32 years old. So
he's 32.
Yes, ish 31, 32.
Oh,
yeah, he played from 05, 06 to 09, 08, 09.
No doubt he's run down. I mean, come on now.
You imagine?
No doubt he's run down. I watch he'll show up eating a jelly donut.
Can you imagine Mike Trimboli being covered by Arnie Spanier? I mean, the only thing you'd see is his butt running by you.
Why? He's 31, 32 years old.
You're 71. How old are you?
I'm a lockdown defender now. I'm a lockdown defender.
You should be.
And by the way,
you
just clothesline people.
I'm good at throwing elbows. Tell Stromboli, bring it on. Let me ask you a question. You say he's such a good assist guy?
All-timer.
I'll just back off you.
So it's basically, basically his stats are Trey Bell Haynes 10 years later.
Oh, piece of cake.
So you're going to be covering
Haynes. I can guard Trey Bell Haynes right now.
What? You could.
Who was that?
Trey Bell Haynes right now. Right now, I can guard him. So you're telling me I get to guard a TBH 10 years from now?
No, I'm just saying he's about 8 or 9 years older than Bell Haynes.
Has anybody seen this guy play recently? That's what I want to know.
You're about to.
Yeah. He was out at the Travis Roy Wiffle Ball Tournament.
I don't even remember him.
We did not play against him.
We didn't play against him?
No.
Does he have any other UVM cronies on this team, or it's just pretty much him?
I don't know. We should hope it's just him.
Well, because last year they had a couple guys on the team, like 2-3 former guys, but they were like big stiffs that didn't know how to play. So they weren't much of a trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's pretty safe to say, because I know Mike quite well, and I suspect he's probably listening. If you are, please call in.
Oh, if you're listening.
Yourself.
Bring it on!
This is embarrassing to even hear.
Bring it on!
Any idea what he's going to do to you on the basketball court?
Let me tell you something. If I can outscore him,
enough said. You don't even need to finish the sentence.
I am under the weather.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I'm game time decision. I may not even show up. I've got the chills a little bit today.
After all this talk and setting it up, I might not even show
up. You're talking about a guy that's 6'1". You had me figuring that this guy was like 6'7" or something like that.
The all-time assist leader. He's not going to be 6'7".
Well, the reason you're the all-time assist leader is probably because you can't shoot very well. That's probably why, right?
Look at that.
Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He was a 45% field goal shooter.
Well, did they play defense back in America East back then, Rich, really? Did they play defense back then?
Let's face it, man. You're screwed.
No,
you really are.
I'm not worried about it at all. I mean, one guy. That's why I'm the shutdown defender. We have another guy, no defense, Rob. We don't want to put him on him, do we? No D Rob. We don't want to put no D Rob on him.
Is that his nickname?
I'd rather put him on than you. That's for sure.
Wow! All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm a game time decision.
Mike Trimboli.
We'll see how I'm feeling. I don't.
You're not going to show up.
I don't know if I'm going to. But you really don't need. If this guy's only 6'1", if I got to go there and help you guys win this game against this chump 10 years ago,
right.
16 it's points a game?
All-time UVM star. How chump,
is
it, right?
Why is he all-time UVM star?
Because of his numbers. Look
I thought Coppenrath and all those guys
yeah.
were... It's, now, if you told me I was going to be against Coppenrath and those guys...
Well, maybe that's another teammate.
Yeah. Oh, bring him on! Bring him on!
He can't play. He's coaching high school basketball.
Oh, that's right. That's the one coaching high school. All right, that's the one. We had him on.
Could someone please film this hilarity?
I want to know if he has anybody else on the... on the team. That's okay. All I want to know. My wife just said, this morning you were half dead and now you're playing basketball. The power of bologna and not the meat.
Wow, that text after, that's harsh.
What did it say that?
Don't worry.
Arnie.
Yeah, Arnie. Your name is Arnie.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Arnie. Down one with the ball in 07 in the America East Championship game, Trimboli dribbled out the clock without getting a shot off. Wow. So you're not worried.
Is that true, Rich?
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up. But that's yeah, but so what? He was covered.
Oh, I got this then.
Oh, absolutely, because of that play?
Oh, we got this.
Boy, what a harsh bunch.
Wow. All right, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll have to...
Speaking of your wife,
yeah.
And how funny is that bologna would fix you? Yeah. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
She says you are the worst human being on the planet Earth when you're sick.
Cannot deny.
Okay.
I was screaming at her.
You better do something nice for Valentine's.
The dog pooped in the house before I left, didn't pick it up. I was screaming at her, pick up the dog poop. Get me some. She wouldn't get me the bologna. I was in the worst. I was screaming at her when I got off the air at like 2 o'clock in the morning Sunday. Are you happy? I'm sick. Look at me.
You're
sick.
You're like Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory when he gets sick in season one. Leonard, I'm sick. I hope someone recognizes that.
I don't watch much of the Big Bang Theory.
You should.
That's a way overrated show.
Oh, stop.
Way overrated.
The Big Bang Theory is overrated. It wouldn't be on 102 channels 182 times a
game. That's what makes it overrated.
No.
When it's on all the... Do you watch the Big Bang Theory?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I've never once seen it.
There's 20 other sitcoms I'd rather watch than
the
Big Bang Theory. Wow.
Yeah, okay.
He's insulted now.
I don't
Seinfeld, Friends,
I
Big
like
Bang
Seinfeld.
Theory.
I like Friends.
Rich doesn't watch TV, yet all I hear about is appointment viewing for the Bruins and every documentary he's ever seen.
I watch documentaries and sports.
So you do watch television.
Okay.
So don't say you don't watch television. Yes.
Lord knows I pay enough for it.
It says here, I'm with Rich. Somebody filmed this game. We can compare Arnie's flu game to MJ. didn't MJ have a big flu game?
Yes, he did.
Same thing. Do I have to go gambling first up at the casino or not?
And Brady can be Pippin. You save your butt.
There you go. Yes. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if I'm going. My wife's like, oh, the smack you're talking now, you better go. I don't know. We'll see how I'm feeling. Right now, I'm a little under the weather.
So are you seriously thinking of covering Mike Trimboli?
Who else is our shutdown defender?
Brady, tell us.
I am. I'm the guard.
Name any name.
No D-Rob.
No D-Rob. So who do you want? No D-Rob or me? What do you want? Brady, what do we got coming up on the show today? What's going on?
Well, before that, trivia tomorrow, City Sports Grill out in Colchester, half-price burgers. Come join us. Friday, we kick off the Wintercraft Beer Tour. That's at First Republic Brewery in Essex. They've got a special menu. It's pizza and a pint night on Friday. They're bringing in some barbecue for us, so that'll be great. As for what's coming up on the show today, pitchers and catchers are reporting.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
So we'll give you the top Yankee storylines of the spring. We'll do the Red Sox tomorrow. The Giants have a new offensive coordinator. TC will join us from Red Sox spring training at 4:35. The Baseball Hall of Fame president, Jeff Idelson, stops by at 5. But first, Teddy Bruschi of ESPN, he's responding to Lane Johnson of the Eagles in his comments about the Patriots way. And here's what Bruschi had to say yesterday on ESPN.
You're still talking about the opponent you just played.
Right.
When you should be reveling and having a great time and with the parade, with the ring ceremony, talk about your greatness.
Right.
Because it is what you achieved. You shouldn't be talking about the other team that you just beat. Because I'll tell you what, coming from a guy that's failed going back-to-back once and then succeeded going back-to-back once, it takes a lot more, fellas, than planned end zone celebrations, dog masks, and trick plays to go back-to-back. So if you think it's going to be all fun to win another championship next year, you got it all wrong. It takes serious men. It takes serious conversations. It takes serious practices, goal setting, all of that stuff. So he's going to see how hard it is.
Wow, Teddy, and you know I love Teddy. Went to U of A, of course, and a Patriot star. But you know it reminds me of what you guys were saying when the Red Sox were looking for a new manager and saying, well, you got to get a player's coach, right? He's got to be able to relate to the players. Belichick doesn't relate to the players anymore. No. And let me tell you something.
That's for sure.
I have no doubt that it's miserable except for anybody named Tom Brady. And even for Tom Brady, it's miserable. So I think he's 100% right. If Tom Brady, and Tom Brady doesn't show it because he's the greatest of all time, I think Belichick makes it miserable on just about a lot of people on that team. Even him and Brady. If you really can't be best friends with the greatest quarterback of all time that took you to 8 Super Bowls, then you're a knucklehead. So I believe in what he said, and maybe I'd be better off winning one Super Bowl and being in a better atmosphere than going to 8 and being bummed out like that.
See, this was what was great about him not being here yesterday. Brady and I had an intelligent conversation about the fact. So let me get this straight. And by the way, the Patriots do have fun. Okay, it's not bad winning 5 Super Bowls. Teddy Bruschi said it. Everybody that has talked from the Patriots said that's the most ridiculous thing. My point is what Bruschi was bringing up. Why in the world is this guy, who, by the way, was suspended for PEDs for 4 games a couple of years ago, which has nothing to do with this, I understand, but I'm just saying he ain't no choir boy. Why does this guy continue, and why does the NFL and a lot of different players continue to focus on the New England Patriots? They lost the game. Philadelphia was the better team. They won fair and square. And now all I've heard about, it's like a different thing every single day, but it's always about the Patriots.
You know what? I think
what
a couple,
does that matter?
I think a couple of things are sour.
Let it go.
I think a couple of things are sour grapes here. Bruschi's offended because he's a former Patriot.
Yeah. Sure.
Players do this. Teams do this.
Yes.
And organizations do this. Didn't the Patriots and all their fans spend time talking about 28-3 all offseason?
Yes, they did.
Didn't I hear about that? Didn't I see LeGarrette Blount after they beat the Seahawks when the Seahawks failed to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch? Didn't LeGarrette Blount go to the parade wearing a shirt that said bitch mode?
Yes, you did.
Instead of beast mode? Teams and players do this. We don't have to like it, but don't act like Lane Johnson is something new here.
Wait a minute. How about time versus Tom? Does Tom not Tom Brady not keep a the suspension, you know, for motivation?
Yes.
People do that all the time in every different form there.
My point is that it's not even a week. The paint hasn't even dried yet. Have fun. He's talking about people not having fun. Sounds to me like Lane Johnson is wasting time not having a whole lot of fun. What about the parade? What about celebrating with his family? You just won the friggin' Super Bowl. Who cares about who you beat for 1 week?
He said, but here's the thing I don't get about Bruschi is he says, don't spend time talking bad about the Patriots. Celebrate your own accomplishments. They're both distractions. Whether I'm going to tell you how I beat you or how great I am, aren't they both distractions? And don't they both come off as arrogant? So if he says he needs to get more serious, you can't be getting more serious if you're going to spend time talking about how great you are. He's saying don't live in the past. Well, if you talk about how great you are, you're living in the past.
Yeah, but you don't agree with him when he also says you guys both said about the players manager thing, the players coach. That's the time we live in now, right? I mean, nobody wants to be playing for a guy that's, you know, shaking the fist, screaming at you every 2 seconds and telling you how much you suck.
Yeah,
you know that?
It works when you're a habitual winner. And then I don't think it works anymore. Like, you're not going into a culture where there's losing and the guys like that and being happy. Belichick and Saban, you'll sacrifice some of that, quote, unhappiness for winning. And if you're in Alabama's sake, for winning and the chance to get noticed, you know, more for the pro ranks. So I think that's okay. But they ran Tom Coughlin out of town when the Giants started losing because they just couldn't handle it anymore.
But 3 days after they beat Atlanta last year, are they focusing, the players on the Patriots focusing on Atlanta being no fun or Atlanta doing this or Atlanta doing that? No, it was time to party.
It has nothing to do with talking about the Patriots being no fun. He's taking shots at the Patriots. This is what teams do when they win. They talk down to their opponent. And we don't have to like it, but this happens all across sports and this happens all across everywhere. Was it LeBron's birthday party a year later where we're having the 3-1, we're making fun of the Warriors blowing 3-1 leads? How many Richard Sherman 2-4 memes did I have to see for a year?
Every day the Patriots put on their Super Bowl ring, they're making fun of the Falcons because it has 283 diamonds on it, and that's Kraft rubbing it, right? Is that Kraft not rubbing it in?
I'm mostly talking about the timing of it. I just wish they'd let the paint dry on this thing a little bit before they just go after the team they just beat.
The only thing about Bruschi that I agree with here, because I think he comes off as a guy who cares about the Patriots, and I appreciate him.
Oh, he does, sure.
No question.
Yeah.
I appreciate him sticking up for his organization, and I don't know that if it wasn't the Patriots as the target, I don't know that he'd feel as strongly about this. He is right when he talks about how difficult it's going to be to repeat because the Eagles this year, I always say this, the Eagles played a last place schedule this season. They had the benefit of, in their division, the Giants, all the injuries, to Odell Beckham Jr. and all the injuries in that wide receiver room and the injuries on defense for the Giants and the whole Ben McAdoo thing blowing up. They had the benefit of Ezekiel Elliott being suspended for 6 games, which weakened the Cowboys. So the Eagles did benefit from a lot of other ancillary things outside of just them being good. If those things rectify themselves next year and you have a first-place schedule to play, it is going to be significantly tougher to be in this spot again.
And by the way, how do you know he didn't hear that from somebody inside the Patriot locker room?
We talked about that. Well, yeah. Well, not only in the Patriot locker room, LeGarrette Blount and Chris Long right. were Patriots yeah,
exactly.
last season.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you want to get in the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672.
I would like you to know that Mike Trimboli is now following us on Twitter and is talking trash back to us.
What did he say to you?
He wrote to me, he goes, at 101.3 Radio Brady, coming for you tonight, exclamation
point. He's coming for you?
And I said, please direct all venom to Arnie. I said nothing of the sort.
Bring it on, yes.
Trust
little
me,
guy.
You don't want to have him against you.
Bring
Arnie,
it on.
You're another story.
Little guy is 6'1", right?
See, now you're a tough guy right now.
Yes, I am.
And you, there's a 50-50 chance you're not even showing up.
The fact that he put that out there, it's 51-49 now that I'll show up. How about that?
Well, I guarantee you they're hoping you show up.
I'll tell you what, Brady, just let me back him down like the shrimp 6'1 that he is. And I will take
How tall
shot.
Are you?
I'm about a little less than 6'1".
Yeah.
But I am wider, though.
Yes,
I am
you
wider.
You take up more room.
I am wider. I'm sure he's getting a six-pack of jelly donuts right now before the game.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Brady, what's coming up next segment, Brady?
Giants have a new offensive coordinator. Who is it, and what do we think of the hire?
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. A super busy Tuesday. Everybody be safe out there. Weather's getting a little warmer. Thank goodness for that.
So they should be safe because it's getting warmer?
Well, don't be safe out there. What the hell? What kind of question is that? Don't be safe
out
there.
I don't know, man.
Did you say it at 3:58? You always say, let's be safe out there.
Yes, I did say that.
Okay.
I like
right
people to be safe out there, Rich. What's
in fact,
problem,
I said it yesterday because you weren't here.
He did at 3:59:48.
Oh.
Oh, you were way off. That doesn't count. That doesn't count at all. So there you go on that. Brady, I don't know. Is there a lot to talk about with Shula now?
Yes.
Really, tell me why. Because I'm a Giant fan. I'm like, okay, so, yeah. You know what? Give me points on the board. I don't care what the hell your name is. And, I remember Shula going way back saying would he even have a job if his last name wasn't Shula, talking about the Alabama and all that. But go ahead.
The Giants have a new offensive coordinator. It is Mike Shula. He was the former offensive coordinator at the Carolina Panthers. He was fired after the season. He was there from 13 to 17. Look, I think this is a risky hire. You go through the numbers with Mike Shula. They're not all that impressive. The Panthers finished in the bottom half of the league every year he was there except one in yardage per game. They finished out of the top 10 in total points per game every year except one. They finished in the top 10 of passing touchdowns only one time that he was there. They struggled offensively by and large other than in the running game where they were top 10 every year he was there. That's the only redeeming quality right now I found in Mike Shula.
The only thing I could find is I like the fact that there's a Dartmouth guy running the Giants offense. I mean, this just reeked to me of good old boy network hire if
yes.
I ever saw one. I mean, that was the first thing that hit me. It's like my first reaction was, okay, what's he been doing lately? Well, you know, he's just bouncing from team to team. Obviously, he did some – well, I mean, I understand he's been 4 years with – he's just one of those old school names that you think has been with everybody. And
it's Gettleman who came from Carolina,
right.
Hired his old guy.
Right, which means that makes it even more obvious that it's old school, a good old boys network, if you will. I mean, he's bounced around a little bit. I mean, with Cam Newton, did he work wonders and make him the MVP, or was Newton just running for his life? I mean, Newton ended up leading the team in rushing. Was it because he had to, or because that was the plan?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to know how good Mike Shula is until we see him without Cam Newton. Because you look at it and say, the redeeming quality I just told you is that they had a top 10 rushing offense every year he was in Carolina. Well, a lot of that is precipitated by Cam Newton's mobility himself or the threat of him running. The Giants don't have that at the quarterback position this year in Eli Manning, and all of the guys that we're talking about them maybe drafting with the number 2 spot aren't mobile in the way Cam Newton's mobile. So I don't know that he's that, the rushing attack, is it because of Cam's dynamic or because of anything Shula did? And Cam never really developed as a passer. Is that because Cam was unwilling to develop as a passer and he wanted to be run also like he's talked about? Or is it because Shula couldn't develop him? We're not going to know how good he is, but I think it's risky.
I don't put it on the offensive coordinator because of those numbers. It's not up to, I mean, when you don't have a team, when you don't have an offensive line, you know, people
talk about. They made a Super Bowl.
Let me finish. When people talk about, when they talk about the Giants and the offensive line and say how terrible it is, they're not talking about the offensive coordinator and all that. They made a Super Bowl, but yet he gets no credit. I mean, it's only about the bad years he's had. It's only about, what, the 4 years he's had there. And it's not all his fault if you have nobody around you. You've got nobody to help you there. I'd like to see how many times did he call a wrong play? Did he call a run when it should have been a pass or vice versa? Otherwise, what's the problem here? Maybe you just don't have the talent on that team to go ahead. And maybe if they go to the Super Bowl, maybe the defense did that, or maybe Cam improvising. But no, I don't put that all on any offensive coordinator. I just said, hey, call the play, open it up. And if you're not getting, if you're not scoring, it's because the players aren't getting it done. I put very little interest in the offensive coordinator. Open it up and let's throw the ball downfield. Come on. Don't be a scientist now. You know what I mean?
I think you have to put some either. I think offensive coordinators deserve credit. I also think they deserve blame. Why are so many coordinators being thrust into head coaching positions? Obviously because they were shown that they had great
value. What's the next level?
Right, but they were shown they had value. They were shown that they meant something. So they were shown that they were important. If they could be elevated and we can celebrate how great they are and elevate them to head coaching positions, we also can criticize them.
No, but when you say they, I'm sorry, when you say they were last place in like our passing and all that, that's not because he's not calling passing plays for them. It's just because they just can't get it done.
Well, how about he was the quarterback's coach for 2 years prior to being the coordinator. If Cam Newton has failed to develop as a true passer, part of it, I would think, falls on Cam and his unwillingness to
being a selfish quarterback.
To deviate from what he wants to do, and what he wants to do is be a dual-threat quarterback.
Right.
And I also think part of it probably falls on Shula for a little bit of a failure to adapt.
And by the way, I had the wrong Shula. My phone's blowing up. Dave Shula was the Dartmouth guy. Mike Shula is an Alabama guy. But I just look at it as a sideways move in a situation where the Giants, I mean, I think their defense is stronger than their offense. I think that's pretty safe to say for the most part. They've got to figure out a running game. They've got to find another quarterback within the next couple of
years.
See,
they have absolutely no
offensive line.
It has nothing to do with the offensive coordinator. They got to find all those
guys.
They
have
who
to find. I understand that. But I think fans, at least, of the Giants wanted a dynamic, quote, sexy name to get in there. And is Mike Shula that guy? It just seems like kind of a, move to me.
Well, it's a retread. And
yes,
that's why that it's known. So that's why it's we can look at it and judge it. It is known. If they had elevated some college coach that we had never heard of, if they had elevated their quarterback's coach who we hadn't paid much attention to, then it would have been different. But we know Mike Shula. Daryl Bevel was an option. He was just fired from Seattle.
Right.
So we're looking at another retread there. They're not even going to hire a quarterback coach now in New York, and Shula's going to do all of it. And I think when you're talking about trying to develop a franchise quarterback within the next year or two to replace Eli Manning, you need somebody who's capable of doing it. And when you look at Cam Newton's progression and regressions, I don't know that Shula deserves I wonder how much blame he gets for Cam's regression.
And I'm always uncomfortable with somebody getting hired that was just fired. I mean, to me, that says, what was Carolina, 19th, I think, in offense in the NFL this year. It just that gives me the heebie-jeebies as a fan of any team that's going to hire a guy that just – I mean, why was he just fired? Does that mean he's not in touch with how things in football are going now offensively?
I would have had the same reaction if it would have been some guy I'd never even heard of or some guy that would have run some great offense in college. I'd say, okay, let's see what you're going to do the next level. Won't make a difference unless they've got the players, unless you shore up that offensive line, unless you make sure that Eli is protected, that you got a running game, that Odell's going to go ahead and not be a malcontent. Doesn't make a difference how great an offensive coordinator you are if you don't have all
that. It does feel like he's coming into a can't-win situation, so we'll see how this works out.
Nick in Plattsburgh said Shermer's going to call the plays. I could see it being like the Sean McVay situation where he focuses solely on the offense and doesn't even pay attention to when the team is on defense, is looking at the pictures from the previous drive. I don't know who's going to call the plays. Is it going to be Shermer?
Shermer said he's going to call the plays, but regardless, in practice, the offensive coordinator is going to be heavily involved with your quarterback and your offense and in the film room. And again, I just don't know that we could fully judge Shula until he's separated from Cam Newton, because I think there's other dynamics at play there with Cam and how stubborn he is about wanting to play a certain way. But when you look at those numbers, they're not all that endearing to Mike Shula and his ability to develop a full offense. Yes, Shurmur will call the plays, but Shula's going to have his hands in it.
He'll have his hands in it, but he's not going to overrule Shurmur, especially in his first go around. It's going to be his call. It's going to be all his deciding what's going to be. All the plays will come through him. So especially his first year too. So there's not going to be any messing around here. I'll be curious to see what they're going to do at the draft, if they're going to start thinking about the backup quarterback situation, if they have a backup quarterback situation in Webb and what they have right now, if they're going to draft one, if they want to trade down, because if they're not going to take a quarterback, you got to trade down, don't you? You can't be staying up there and not take a quarterback. You have to take a quarterback.
Well, the other thing you could think is, do you like a quarterback that's different than one of the ones we all project to go in the top two? Because could you trade down to 8, 9, 14, still get the quarterback that you wanted, even though he's not the guy that others valued?
And maybe it's because it's quarterback, and that's what everybody wants, the high-profile guy, when you've got a high pick like that. But doesn't this team need more help on the offensive line? Just don't they need to just start from scratch and retool that entire offensive line? As to whether there's a – I mean, who's more valuable with that second pick? Is it an offense? Is it the best offensive lineman in the country who's a surefire pro bowler? Or is it a quarterback?
It's a quarterback, but you could trade down and get yourself that offensive lineman.
But what about next year? I mean, there's going to be a pile of quarterbacks next year. I mean, Eli Manning isn't sitting down, is he?
No, I meant there's a lot of quarterbacks in this year's draft.
Right, but so you want to grab him and my point is there's so many needs on that offensively, especially on that line for the Giants. Why not grab the best offensive lineman in the entire nation and wait a year or two? Eli's not sitting down for the next couple of years, is he?
How about if I just get that through free agency or wait till the fourth, fifth, or sixth round to do that wasting the second pick overall for that?
Yeah, I think you're either taking a quarterback or you're trading down.
By the way,
did you
hear Pro Football Focus owned by Chris Collinsworth? Did you hear about that?
I know it is owned by
Collinsworth.
Yeah.
Came out with their quarterback rankings. Their number one quarterback, Baker Mayfield, over everybody else. So
no thank you.
No, they were just getting ripped. There are people like, I heard Colin say, sell it, Chris. Sell Pro Football Focus if you're going to have Baker Mayfield number one. All right, Brady, who we got coming up next?
Tom Caron of Nesson. He is live in Fort Myers. Pitchers
Are you
and catchers
sure?
have reported.
Because he was just doing hockey here just yesterday.
Last night.
Are you sure?
He's there.
He's there. We'll talk to him next. Coming up, 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, how do you deal with this guy? It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, he's our Red Sox insider from Nesson. It's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC?
Good. How are you doing, boys?
Good. Have a little fun with the bean pot last night, or what, my friend?
Yeah, it was a good one. Great game, and Northeastern gets to end its 30-year drought, finally hoisting the cup. It's a fun one.
Give me your timeline. What are you doing awake?
I was until you called. game ended, and then there was a little post-game celebration, and then 6 a.m. flight to Fort Myers, Oof. Get down here and tape the show, and get ready for our show in a little bit. It's all good.
TC, we're going to do our top questions and storylines that need answering tomorrow for the Sox, but what do you think is the number one storyline to watch out for?
I think it's still whether they sign J.D. Martinez. I don't think that has changed as long as he remains a free agent and he looks to be the perfect impact bat, the power bat, the drop in the middle of this lineup. I think there's no doubt in my mind that until he signs somewhere, that's going to be a story and a question that hovers over this team throughout spring training.
You see the comments on David Price and what he had to say. Is he trying to make amends after what happened last year or what, T.C.?
Yeah, I was there when he talked, and I thought that he sounded a little different. You know, last year, and he, listen, every athlete is you know, proud, and they don't like to go back on what they said. Last year, he said he could handle differently, but last year there was sort of a defiance in all of it. I thought today he sounded like a guy who's trying to put that behind him a little bit, and that would be good news for the Red Sox. A couple of times he said, I could have handled things better. Whether you're talking about the way he talked about the fans, the Dennis Eckersley situation, all of it he said he could have handled better, and that he's trying to turn the page and move on. He said he knows that the only way he can win over fans is by pitching well and staying healthy and pitching. And then I thought it was interesting that he said he expects to stay here and keep pitching and keep winning, even though he's got that opt-out option at the end of the year. Now, he said he hasn't talked about it with the family and that, you know, obviously that leaves the door open to that's a conversation that he may have, depending on how this season goes. But at this point, he says at least that his plan is to stay and to continue pitching and that he just wants to do what he signed here to do, which is win baseball with the Red Sox.
See, I mean, was that – it just sounded weird to me. David Price steps out of the locker room, sits on a picnic table. I mean, I would assume this was all – is he trying to make it look non-choreographed or was it pretty obvious?
Well, I mean, that's – you know, Chris Sale's going to sit there tomorrow. That's the daily sort of press briefing area. Okay. I mean, he just – that's where they bring a player. You know, Alex Cora sat in the same spot right after him. That's just right. That's where they come out and talk to the media when they have the media availability. You go to, the way it works down here is you go in the clubhouse in the morning before the workouts, and then after the workouts, generally every day they bring one player out to talk to the media, and it's usually a guy that they're getting a lot of requests to talk to. Everybody wants to talk to Price, so they bring him out as a sort of a press briefing rather than have everyone huddle around his locker.
What's the timetable in spring training? Pitchers and catchers report today. When do the position players get there, and when do they start getting into the nitty-gritty?
Well, pitchers and catchers work out tomorrow, so that's when it all begins. They actually get workouts, and that'll be tomorrow here, just pitchers and catchers. And then I believe it is Saturday, right, when the whole team gets together and works out. The interesting thing this year is just they don't have as much time as they normally have because a week from tomorrow, let's see if I got my days right because I'm kind of toast here. I think today's Tuesday.
Yeah,
today's Tuesday.
All day.
So a week from Thursday, they have their first game, the annual doubleheader against the colleges with Northeastern and BU.
Ah.
And so it's a little, you know, I think it's 3 days shorter than normal. Remember, baseball opens up March 29th for the Red Sox this year, not in April. The season starts about 4 or 5 days early because they're trying to add in some extra days off during the season. So that doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, they usually have 3-4 days where it's just sort of fundamentals, and then they start ramping up for games. I talked to Alex Cora at length today, and that's one thing in the back of his mind. He's really got to find a way. Even after the Grapefruit League games start, he's going to try to have some fundamental workouts going on separate fields, so that he can get everybody, ramped up as they're used to.
What do they do different? With a new manager, does it feel like it's a new era? Do you feel like things have changed? Like I don't know, a shining light or something, or are things really not any different?
I that's a great question, and I don't really have an answer. I think I will tomorrow. You know, got here today towards the end of, and what wasn't an organized workout because tomorrow's the first workout. The one thing I really noticed that I think is different is Dana Lavangi as a pitching coach is really a different guy. He's uber organized and very hands-on. Not to say that there are other pitching coaches weren't. Carl Wells, that was a really good pitching coach. But Dana Lavangi as a former catcher, not a pitcher, a catcher as a pitching coach, kind of comes at it from a different angle. He comes at it from watching pitchers like a catcher does. And, you know, Drew Pomeranz told me it was Dana Lavangi who showed him some video and corrected his delivery last year that got him going back on track. So I do think it'll be different for the pitchers in these first few days of the pitchers and catchers working out. I think Dana Lavangi is a guy to watch. But as far as, you know, is it a different camp? I don't know that we'll know that until the next couple of days to see how they work it. Ron Renicki, the bench coach, who was a Brewers manager for several years, 4 or 5 years, he's the guy who puts together this spring training. Alex Cora did it last year as bench coach for A.J. Hinch in Houston. So it'll be interesting to see how Renicki puts together the drills in the camp and the organization of it, as opposed to, you know, Gary DeSarcina, who did it last year for the Sox.
Tom Karen of Nesson joining us, as he does every Tuesday at this time on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. You mentioned the official workouts for the pitchers and catchers are tomorrow. Well, a number of Red Sox have already been down there throwing bullpens. And look, while I applaud the guys taking it under their own wing to get ready, baseball teams have so much control over what these guys do. I'm surprised they're allowed to throw bullpens before it all starts.
Yeah, well, again, that is pretty standard as well. That's been going on for a long time over the years. Usually everybody gets here a week to 2 weeks before camp starts. They make everything here available to them. Those bullpens, and bullpen sounds like such an official term, but generally pitchers like to get a few sessions under their belt before camp begins. And it's almost, you know, I think of it as a baseline more than anything else. These guys like to know where their arm strength is at, where they are, so that now when they begin the real regimented work, throwing every couple of days, that they sort of have a head start just to build up a little strength. Guys all go through kind of a dead arm thing in the middle of spring training, and you know, all of this is under the auspices of the Red Sox. They don't start ramping up and throwing sessions without it being mapped out ahead of time. But it's really like, you know, it's the difference between 30 years ago when guys showed up for any sport, when they showed up to training camp to get in shape for the season. Now these guys show up in amazing shape. You know, they're all working out at various workout facilities over the off season, and these guys are already ready to go when they get here to camp. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing it on their own, but it's all part of a plan that's put together in the offseason by the team.
So you see, the second base question became even a little more muddy today. I guess Dustin Pedroia is, you know, he's showing up and he'll be ready to play eventually. But I guess Alex Cora mentioned Blake Swihart. There's a name we haven't heard in a long time. Ooh. As a possibility at second base early?
Yeah, that was a surprise. And you know, we knew he would be a versatile guy because they don't think he can handle a full workload of catching anymore. And frankly, they have two really good catchers, so he doesn't fit into this team as a catcher. They like his bat. They want him on the roster. But you always think of him, you know, guys like that always tend to be corner out infielders or maybe an outfielder, but you expect him to be first base, third base. Well, those positions are covered as well. So it's an interesting concept, interesting to see how they use him, and I think a lot of that is going to depend how he handles it over the next week. But the thing about Swihart is he didn't really become a catcher until late in his high school run. He was always an infielder before that, so it's not completely foreign, and he's at a crossroads in his career. He's got to figure out a way to get in a lineup and play, and if that means he's going to play the infield, well, I'm sure he'll be more than eager to try it, but we're going to have to see him handle it. Marco Hernandez is a name that I think everybody's going to be keeping an eye on because he's a guy they like and who's looked pretty good in camp in the past. But yeah, the Swihart thing kind of came out of nowhere, so we'll see where that works out over the next few days.
TC, rumors out today the Red Sox are looking at left-handed reliever Tony Watson. Used to be a really effective closer with the Pirates, was with the Dodgers last year. I've said all along I think they need another bullpen piece, especially a lefty. This sounds like a home run to me if they can do it. What are you hearing?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And talking to Alex Cora about adding that, and it, you know, he would go out and say it because as a manager, you never want to make it sound like you're not happy with the group you have. But, you know, reading between the lines, it really sounded like he would love to get another left-handed pitcher in that bullpen. And, you know, we've been talking about the 80 to 100 guys who are sitting out there in free agency. You know, the logjam's going to break. You know, Yu Darvish signs. Guys are signing here and there. The Scott Boras guys are not signing yet. But if you can start chipping away at that and pick up a, you know, you're hoping now that some of the prices come down here as guys start to say, wait a minute now, pitchers and catchers are reporting and I don't have a contract. It's still unprecedented, you know, and that free agent spring training camp that they're talking about having in Bradenton, I mean, there's going to be a lot of talent there. As these guys sit out there with musical chairs going on and they're left without a chair. So, you know, guys start to panic a little bit. We've seen it happen in the past with Boras guys. And, you know, Stephen Drew is a name that comes to mind. You remember a couple of years ago, he skipped spring training entirely, didn't sign until the season started, and had a horrible season.
Yeah.
You know, and so you wonder if some of these guys are going to say, hey, you know, this is great. I know I want the biggest contract possible, but I want to play, I want a job, I want to sign before everybody else starts running and signing. And so I think these next few days, especially as camps open up, are going to get real interesting because a guy, Tony Watson, whoever you want to talk about, I think these guys are going to start jumping for lifeboats because they don't want to sit the next 2 months on the sidelines.
TC, great listening to you last night covering the Bean Pod, and Northeastern first one in 30 years. I mean, I'm just watching it. explain to people outside of Boston why that is such a big deal. I mean, they look like they just won the Stanley Cup.
Well, unlike other tournaments, there's only four teams that play in this.
Yeah.
You got a 25% chance of winning every year. And to go 30 years is pretty remarkable. And when they last won it in 88, they had won four that decade, and they were the team of the 80s, and no one ever even considered that it would be 30 years until they could win it all again. And, you know, I remember it was a great quote, and somebody put it up again this morning in the wake of that. But Sean Walsh, the legendary coach up at UMaine, the late Sean Walsh, once had a great comment which kind of spoke for the rest of Hockey East and ECAC and New England hockey, saying those bleeps down in Boston, they'd rather win the beanpot than the national championship. And, you know, it might not be quite what it used to be. It's not as provincial. We're not as provincial as we are now because we see games from other parts of the country. But back in the day, it was true. I mean, these four teams kind of recruited all the same kids. They all battled each other in high school, and now they're playing. It was ultimately bragging rights. Jack Parker, the great coach at BU, told the story where they won a national championship once, and he went and talked to the alumni, and they were like, "Yeah, but you won the beanpot. That's more important.
Yeah.
I don't care if you win the national championship."
it's
the championship of Boston, you know. And yeah, if Dartmouth were in Winooski, and you know RPI. were in Shelburne and Union were in Essex Junction, okay? And those four Division One schools played every year.
But traffic.
There'd be some bragging rights, you know? And you know, that'd be a big deal to win that each year. Because now, who knows? Northeastern may not make it to the NCAAs. Who knows where they go from here? But they won the beanpot. And for the kids from Northeastern, to be better than BU, to be better than BC, and to be better from Harvard... And you know Harvard, I mean, that's one of my favorite chants in all the sports. When Harvard gives up a goal in the beanpot, their students chant, that's okay, you're going to work for us someday. and so, you know, there's just great history between these four schools. So good for Northeastern. Just the second time in 66 years, just the second time that in the last 4 years, each of the four schools won the beanpot. And so that's pretty cool. That means each graduating class will have gotten to celebrate it once.
Very nice. Right. TC, always a pleasure, my friend. I know if we were really good friends, you'd get my kid as goalie at one of those teams down there, but whatever.
I think he was listed fifth on the depth chart last night for Northeastern.
Great. Josefik's a family friend. He plays for Northeastern. I don't know if you heard of him. He was a sophomore on that
team. I
hope
he's heard of him. He announced their
game
last
night. Well, yes, you're right.
Night.
What the hell am I thinking? He did heard of him. All right. Thanks.
Who was that?
Grant Josefik of Northeastern.
Yeah, he didn't play last night.
Oh,
but he's been in and out of the lineup. He did play last Monday. Pretty good player.
Yeah.
They like him, and you know, with that, they got the best line in the country
with
Sakura and Stevens and Gaudette, who's leading the nation in scoring. And you know, those guys. I mean, two of them are seniors, and Gaudette's probably going to bolt after his junior year. So. Guys like Josefek and guys like Matt Philippe, I mean, there's a lot of guys on that team that they're going to look to step up and be leaders next year. So he'll be in that hunt.
Get back to baseball, my friend.
Back to sleep.
We will speak to you
next
week.
Get back to sleep? Yeah. This is Florida, right? Happy hour is only about another hour or so here. I got to go.
All right. Take care. Tom Karen, everybody, live from Florida. We'll come back. We'll have gone but not forgotten. And then we'll wrap up the hour right here on 101.3.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Burial and Cremation. They've been with us from the very start of the show, one of our oldest advertisers. So
yes, we love them.
Them. By the way,
you have a Gone But Not Forgotten?
Yes, I have two of them.
Okay.
I've got two of them. And they haven't happened yet, though. They're going to happen. There are two deaths that are
going
to happen.
Let me guess, the Patriots.
No, the Lonzo Ball is a Laker.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know if you guys even brought that up.
We made a joke about it yesterday.
There's no way he can stay a Laker now. There's just no way. His father's just pushed the limits too far. With the whole, you got to take three of my kids now, and Lonzo's not going to sign, and at this point, he's not even playing the rest of the year. I've got to make sure. I'm going to trade him.
He's not going
to
play the rest of the year?
I don't think he's going to play. He's missed, what, like 6 weeks or something like that?
6 weeks? He's missed six games.
Well, it seems like, no, it's definitely not 6 weeks.
Maybe four, then. I don't know. He's missed a lot, though. And I don't know how much more he's going to play. Is there a reason for him to come back and play, to be honest with you? Is there even a reason to come back with the way this team is just horrible? And now his father makes comments on like that. You know what? I don't want to say he's going to ruin his NBA career, but he ruined his Laker career. I don't think the Lakers want him on the team anymore. So I think his Laker career is gone but not forgotten. And
he can go to Lithuania.
He can go to Lithuania and do well there. And Trimboli shot tonight will be gone but not forgotten.
My gosh.
There you go. What? What? I'll shut him down.
You're going to shut him down, even though you might not be there.
I saw him following us on Twitter. I looked at a picture of him. Oh, he's a small little guy. He's a small little guy.
He's a great guard.
I know that, but he's a small little guy. I like hunker over him.
17 points a game.
I'm twice his size. I feel bad taking
you
advantage of him.
You are twice his size.
I feel
he's
bad.
He's 180, you're 360.
I feel bad taking advantage of him. So his post-UVM career, gone, and it will never be forgotten on this show, that's for sure, Rich.
And by the way, those, quote, horrible Lakers are 7-3 in their last 10.
Since he's been gone, they've played better. How long has he been gone? 6 weeks is too much?
It's definitely not 6 weeks.
Couple of weeks.
It's been like four,
three,
4 weeks.
I hate seeing the Lakers win, A, because they're the Lakers, and B, because the Celtics have their pick.
Yeah, but his career's over anyway. His Laker career's over, not his NBA.
Well, gone but not forgotten, the team huddles during timeouts for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah,
did
I saw
see that.
Yeah, I did.
Draymond Green, they decided to have little meetings. You know how they do this sometimes in offices? They decided to have little sort of meetings between two and three players. Steve Kerr just said, well, why don't you guys just split it up? Some of the Phoenix players in a blowout situation were offended by it, saying they're not taking the game seriously. But it was pretty funny to see Draymond Green leading a huddle with like one other player.
My gone but not forgotten is my gone but not forgotten because Rich stole mine, even though it's clearly on the sheet.
Wow.
It's clearly on the sheet. I said the importance of coaches in the NBA if the players can do
there
it.
It,
and it says GSW.
Well, right, do you have any thoughts about it?
Wow.
My thoughts are that I was going to say that. So that's now my thoughts are
and
gone
by the way,
but not forgotten.
It wasn't Draymond Green drawing up the play either.
It was Andre Well, was, Draymond Green did most of it.
Okay, but
Andre Iguodala ran shoot around and
See, there you got to say something about it.
Wow, look at that. Yeah, Stowe is gone, but you could say how Trimboli's shot will be stopped tonight by me. You can throw in on that one too if you want.
I'll say your integrity gone but
not forgotten. Hour one of the books, Brady, will have a Sports Center update. We'll come back. Who will be after that, Brady?
Jeff Idelson, he's the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He'll join us here. Pitchers and catchers are here. We'll find out about this year's Hall of Fame class. It's baseball season, baby.
That's next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, Rich, we had a chance to talk to this gentleman last year, and it was a blast. Joining us now, he is the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's Jeff Idelson. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing terrific. It's great to be with you guys.
You know, right off the bat, I mean, you have such a great job growing up. I mean, I see you're from the Boston area. You must have been growing up a Boston Red Sox fan, and who was your favorite player?
When you're a kid, you were like told this is who you will root for. So I grew up a Red Sox fan. I was a big Carl Yastrzemski fan up there, and he was the king in my heyday.
Yeah, and I was a Milton boy, so I was right there with you, probably about the same age. So, Jeff, I mean, have you woken up yet? I mean, your kid growing up in the Boston area says, you know, I think I'm going to someday be the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame. I mean, I look at the Baseball Hall of Fame as the ultimate sacred ground. I've been there so many times now, and it never gets old.
No, it doesn't. I guess I've been sleepwalking for about 30 years now, and I hope I never wake up. You're right. Cooperstown is a beautiful place. If you've not been here, it's like stepping into a Rockwell painting. And, you know, you come here expecting to find the history of the game, and invariably you find your own.
Let me ask you, is there such thing as, like, I don't know if you'd even consider this auxiliary type Baseball Hall of Fame where maybe you could have some displays in New York or Los Angeles or stuff like that? Or no, you don't have anything like that?
We have a lot of loans out to different museums and history centers around the world. We've done a couple of national tours where we've gone from city to city, but we don't have a satellite operation. We really feel that spreading the word and whetting people's appetite is a good reason to make them want to come to Cooperstown, which is the ultimate experience.
And Jeff, I got to ask you, being in Cooperstown, right flat in the middle of the snow belt, how tough is it to recruit, so to speak, folks to come out to a place like that in the winter? How's attendance there in the winter?
Well, you know, we feel a responsibility to be open the year-round because if somebody wants to come to Cooperstown, we'd hate to be closed. And even if that means counting our visitorship on Mordecai Brown's pitching hand in the middle of January.
Oh, he's got it figured.
Oh, he's got it.
He's done this before.
Oh, and I mean, obviously you have the love for baseball. When did it start? I mean, like 3 years old? Do you have little pictures of you with a toy baseball bat or something at two or something?
No, yeah, my parents had me in the old school patch jackets, right? All the little baseball patches on. Like every picture of me on the porch and in the inner city in Boston, I'm wearing the jacket. And I just grew up loving the game. My parents were big baseball fans. I went to my birthday's in June, and every birthday was spent in the bleachers at Fenway Park with my dad and however many kids we can get in the station wagon. I scored games on the radio on a legal yellow pad. I was a vendor at Fenway. I was all baseball all the time.
What kind of vendor? Hot dogs? Or you have to work your way up the hot dogs, I'm assuming, don't you?
No, you got to be a god to make hot dogs because you make so much money. You know, you start with like popcorn, which, you know, a third of it blows out of the cone, or you're doing Pepsi on a 40 degree day in April. But the best was when I got to do ice cream. I got to do the Fenway Sports Bars, these little rectangular ice cream bars, and I go to the bleachers. And at that time, the Red Sox had a closer by the name of Bill Campbell we had gotten from the Twins.
Soup.
This is like 1980. And I remember first time out there, you know, he like pulls me over to the bullpen before the game. He's like, "What are you selling?" I'm like, "Ice cream." He's like, "Can I have one?" And this is long before Curt Schilling and that whole deal. This is like, you know, pregame ice cream. I said, "Well, yeah, they're like 75 cents. He goes, "I don't have any money." I said, "How about baseballs?" So I started trading ice cream for baseballs with the bullpen.
Oh my gosh, you're talking about, as I recall, the very first rich free agent the Sox ever signed. He didn't have any money. They gave him a nice fat contract at the time.
They did, and he was like one of the early closers, you know, where guys would get the ball in the eighth, ninth inning, and they paid him, and he did well.
Yeah.
Jeff Idelson, president of the Baseball Hall of Fame, some say he may have the best job in the whole world there, Rich. And let me start with this. Vlad Guerrero, one of the newest inductees into the Baseball Hall of Fame, he said he was picking, the Angels over the Expos. I thought it was always up to Major League Baseball or the Hall of Fame to decide, so let's clear that up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, first of all, we're independent of Major League Baseball, so it would be us. But the way we feel is we just don't want to see something misrepresented. And when you look at Vlad's career, you know, he was 7 years in Montreal, 6 years in Anaheim, and then he finished up with Baltimore and Texas. And, you know, so when I had the conversation with him, you know, I said, look, you know, either Angels, Expos, or no logo. You know, some guys like Greg Maddux, Tony La Russa, they haven't wanted to split the baby, Catfish Hunter. And I said, it's up to you, whatever you feel like. And he said, you know, I won my MVP with the Angels. I seem to pick it up a little bit of steam there. I love the Expos. I want to pick one team, and I'd really like to go in as an Angel. And I said, great. And now he's an Angel.
What? How many are in with no logo?
Oh, there's a lot. I'd say maybe 25 or 30% of the plaques. You know, logos weren't really that prevalent until the 60s and 70s. I mean, nobody cared until it became monetized, quite honestly. But, you know, there are plenty of guys that don't have logos, and whether they do or don't, it's just one place in the museum. You're going to find plenty of Vlad stuff with Montreal in our yearbook, our magazines, all over the place.
And I can assure you there'll be a lot of French-speaking fans that are at the induction ceremony, too, for sure.
I know. I'll finally have someone to talk to. It's funny. You know, you talk about being a school-age kid. In the seventh grade, I asked, you know, we had to take a language. So I asked my mom, do I take French or Spanish? And she looks at me like I have two heads. She goes, well, are you kidding me? You got to take French. It's the romantic language. So I take 3 years of middle school, 3 years in high school, 1 year of college. I take 7 years of French. The Expos fold, and I have no one to talk to.
Yeah, I took 4 years of Spanish in high school in Boston and then proceeded immediately to move to the Canadian border for the rest of my life. Go figure that. So.
Funny.
We should trade places.
Yeah, exactly. Is it logistically trickier with a four-person induction class?
Well, we have a six-person induction class when you add in Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, who went in December. First time since 1971 we've had six living players, but we also had six in 2014, and it just makes it a little more complicated in terms of logistics, but it's a great class, and these guys are unbelievable.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to ask the tough question now, and I'm sure you've been asked 100 times, so We'll see how you maneuver out of this. I see that Bonds gained a little bit traction. Who else was it?
McGuire,
right? That also gained some more traction out there. What did you think of that? And just do you hope they get in? I'm just curious.
Well, I'll tell you how I look at it, is that these are guys who played the game, and because they played the game and are not suspended from baseball, they belong on a Hall of Fame ballot. The baseball writers have the very complicated and difficult task of making value judgments, and it's on everybody on the ballot. And for guys, that are under a cloud of suspicion when it comes to steroids, it gets a little more difficult for writers to think about that, whether or not it's true. And at the end of the day, our job is to honor who the writers choose to elect, and anyone they choose to elect, we're prepared to honor. So I look at it as a moment in time about how the writers as a segment of society are feeling with whomever they elect or don't elect. And if Roger and Barry get in one day, we'll be prepared to honor them.
Do the folks at the Hall of Fame have that discussion about if this happens? I mean, is there ever any talk about a steroid wing, if you will, of the Hall of Fame, or maybe acknowledging it on the plaque?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like at this point, you're looking at a guy getting into the Hall of Fame, for all the right reasons, because he played the game the right way, because he excelled at what he did. And at the end of the day, that's how you would treat Hall of Fame plaques. The rest of the museum, which is about the history of the game, we tell all the stories. We talk about the Black Sox scandal, yeah, with Shoeless Joe Jackson. Pete Rose is in there, and an explanation of what he did, and the steroid era, labor problems. Our job is to present history, not tell people how to think, but get them to think. And we do that very well within the museum. The Hall of Fame plaque gallery has been pretty much less sacred as it is, with the plaques being representative of what a guy did in his career.
All right, Jeff, Mariano Rivera is going to be on the ballot for the first time next year, I believe. Can he get 100% of the votes? What do you make of people that go, oh, he should be in, but not a first ballot Hall of Famer? What first ballot, second ballot, does that bother you?
Doesn't really bother me. And listen, I'll never understand why a number of guys never got 100%, but you guys and I could stand outside right now, look at the sky and argue about whether or not the sun is really out. So to get 75% of 500 people to do something subjectively and have 100%, or to have them all agree, is just impossible. And quite honestly, I don't know why a guy like a Willie Mays, a Hank Aaron, Tom Seaver, perhaps Mariano Rivera is the greatest closer, or one of the greatest closers, certainly the greatest postseason closer, wouldn't get 100%, but I don't get caught up in it, because what it does is, it as odd as it may seem, it shows that the process is democratic.
All right, Jeff, I got to leave you on this. I heard a great trivia question. I don't even know if it's the correct answer, but I'm sure you could give me the correct answer. Somebody said to me, there's two people in the Baseball Hall of Fame that have nothing to do with the game of baseball. Who are they?
Who?
Abbott and Costello.
Right.
Is that the
That's
right
what
answer?
I said who?
He played you.
He played me on that.
I was just about to say, you just fooled the president of the Hall of Fame.
The tables have been turned.
Oh, but the funny part is I had somebody arguing with me, go, well, Darbo, they never invented baseball. And I saw Ken Burns' thing. I don't know. Is there something in the Hall of Fame about that or what? I don't know.
Oh, we run Abbott and Costello on a loop. It's like the most asked-for thing. People love that. And, of course, we have the gold record that they achieved for putting that skit on. And, 70 years later, people still find it really, really fun.
Jeff,
awesome.
Tell people how they can get involved and show up on a winter weekend or whenever they'd like to, or plan a summer trip to Cooperstown.
Well, we're open the year-round. The only days we're closed are Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving, when you really should be home with your family. Yes. And other than that, come on out. We're open 9 to 5 in the winter. We're open 9 to 9 in the summer. It's beautiful. It's like being in a Rockwell painting, and it's your whole childhood coming to life. That's what Cooperstown is.
Oh, I love it. Hey, Jeff, always a pleasure, my friend. We do it again next year. Don't be such a stranger. And hopefully Rich and I will be out there sometime in the summer. And,
oh, I will be.
You will be. Jeff, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll catch up with you later on.
Okay, thanks so much. You guys have a great day.
Thanks,
there you go.
Jeff.
Jeff Idelson, everybody, Baseball Hall of Fame president. Yeah. Always love talking to him, guys, every year. We get to go ahead and talk to him, and I have not yet made it out to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that is
ever?
That's incredible to me.
Yeah. I've been close, just haven't stopped.
You go by it says Cooperstown on the exit there, and it's like, it's right there.
By the way, I stand corrected on my trivia question, where I said two people inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame that have nothing to do with there's a third.
Who's that?
Brady, would you like to give the answer?
Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
He got in last year.
officially?
Homer Simpson's in the Baseball Hall
of Fame. No, wait a minute. No, I take that back. Huh? I said two people. Homer's really not a person. He's a cartoon character.
You said two people not associated with
baseball. Yeah, he's not a person. He's a cartoon character, not even a real person.
So does that mean Dan Castellaneta is in the Hall of Fame, the voice of Homer Simpson?
Maybe it is a right still. I don't know. Is Homer Simpson the third person, or do you still say Abbott Costello?
You're right. He's not a person.
He's not a person. I don't know that. I don't know if maybe the trivia question's still right there, Brady.
And there's a picture of Idelson. Homer Simpson has a plaque.
Yeah, but he's not a cartoon.
Do Abbott and Costello have a plaque? They're just part of the Hall of Fame.
Well, I know they run the Who's on First thing over and over again.
Yes.
But,
that's what he said, but I don't think they have a plaque.
I don't know. I
You're
do not know.
That Homer has a plaque?
Yes.
Well, if Homer has a plaque, Abbott and Costello have to have a plaque then. Abbott and Costello must have a plaque. If a cartoon character's got a plaque. I mean, come on now.
It's like the argument about Secretariat being an athlete.
No, because that was a great trivia question. Now the whole thing's going to be ruined. They're in the Hall of Fame, so they got to have a plaque.
Enduring popularity of Who's on First sketch created a similarly enduring association between Abbott Costello and baseball, contributing to the mistaken belief that the comedians have been the only people with no professional connection to the sport to be honored with induction to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Erroneous statements to this effect, such as the following, can be found on a variety of websites.
Do they say who else or no?
As of 2005, this was an old site, but as of 2005, the Hall of Fame had enshrined 260 members, but Abbott and Costello weren't any of them, nor were any other non-baseball personnel. They are all former players, managers, executives, or umpires.
Ah, okay. So they're in, but they're not plaque worthy. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but Homer Simpson has a plaque.
I don't know. See,
in what category?
I don't know.
I don't think he's not.
It's like the last name I expect you to say, Brady, when you said there's one other.
Yeah, Homer Simpson.
You can thank my brother for that.
Yeah, he made this whole thing miserable now.
Is he in? What does he have to do with baseball? I mean, there's been occasional references to baseball in the show.
There was a 25-year anniversary since some iconic Simpsons episode in 92.
Yeah, the one where he played the company softball team.
Okay.
And he recruits like Daryl Strawberry.
Right, I think Wade Boggs
but there's also another connection. I don't know if this is a connection.
It was called Homer at the Bat.
What about the Isotopes? They're a minor league team now.
Yes, Albuquerque.
Yeah. Taken from that. So, I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with it
That's
also.
That's a reach.
I don't know what else it could be. I don't know what it could be then. Then it's the company softball game? Is that what it is?
I am looking at a plaque, a Hall of Fame plaque with a bust of Homer Simpson.
Unbelievable.
Inept safety inspector turned citywide softball hero. Right fielder led Springfield nuclear plant to city championship game. Yada, yada, yada.
Wow. All right, we got our big game tonight. I'm feeling a little better. I'm going to have to – still game time decision. I'm feeling a little feverish, non-feverish. I don't know. I just we'll have to see how it goes. Goes up. I know I'm guarding that guy. What's his name? Stromboli.
That would be it's not Stromboli. I'm sure he's never heard that before. No. It's Mike Trimboli. I looked up all time great UVM basketball.
I saw a picture
players.
Of him on Twitter.
Yep.
A small little guy,
and yet somehow much taller than you are.
I don't know. I'm not sure. He seems like just a freakishly small guy.
He's 6'1", 180. What does that mean?
It doesn't seem that big. Doesn't seem like
how is 6'1", 180 freakishly small?
It just seems freakishly small. Look, when I'm out there guarding him today, you'll see.
Guarding.
And by the way,
we use the term loosely.
I will throw an elbow at him. So he just
you
right
won't
off the
get
bat.
Within 10 feet of him. How are you going to throw an elbow?
I'll throw an elbow with the handshake before I even play.
It's
I'll
the only
throw an
time
elbow.
You're going to be within 5 feet of him.
Boom. He'll come to shake my hand. Good game. Boom. Just elbow to the face.
All I can say, please, someone that's there.
Elbow to the face.
Film it.
And we got trivia tomorrow night, Brady, so that's going to be a lot of fun at the City Sports Grill. And by the way, whether you have a date for Valentine's, you don't do the Valentine's thing, come on out. I'm going to be there. And you know what? It's a non-Valentine's thing. Just come on out. It's going to be very casual. I'm not even going to buy my wife anything. So there you go.
Half-price burgers.
There you go, honey. Here's a half-price burger.
For people that don't want to do the Valentine's Day thing and you still want to go out, you still want to have a little fun. You want to have some good food at the City Sports Grill. You want to do some trivia. Then come out tomorrow. Because I'm not buying anything for my wife. And don't buy anything for yours. So
you're buying nothing for your wife.
Nothing.
You do realize this is a wife's girlfriend's holiday.
I'm waiting to see what she buys for me. I'm waiting to see what she buys me first.
She's not getting you anything. This is a female holiday. Am I wrong?
Well, Brady, he goes all out. He plans this for like a month.
This is more of a...
Yes, it's a female holiday. You can buy Jess could buy me baseball tickets though. That would be fine.
What's our holiday?
We have no holiday.
Wow. Father's Day.
Yeah.
That, yeah, that's there's either. Mother's Day to offset that.
So, birthday?
Shouldn't there be like a male Valentine's Day thing? I mean, shouldn't we get a special day? Why don't we just make one up like Arbor Day or Flag Day is now Give Guys Gifts Day.
I don't need gifts. Just
I don't need gifts either.
Just a six-pack of beer and the ability to sit on the couch all day. Yeah, I guess that would be good.
And Arnie in his underwear.
Yeah, I'll play trivia and I'll eat burgers and fries. That's what I want. That's what I want for
Valentine's Day. That says love.
That does say love. Brady, what do we got coming up next segment?
Well, remember also the craft beer tour kicks off on Friday, First Republic Brewery in Essex.
Oh.
As for next, another Eagle takes a shot at the Pats.
Wow.
All right, break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Rick in Middlebury just texted in, oh, how I missed the peaceful intelligence of yesterday's broadcast. Wow.
We just talked to Jeff Idelson.
Yeah, I don't even know what the problem was with it. Was there something I said that was nutty on the...
No. Yeah. No, nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all about tonight's basketball game and potential matchups.
Oh, I'm sure he's not even talking about that, though. I don't know what Rich is talking about, or Richard awesome. Middlebury is talking about there. But hey, by the way, Brady just told us that they found the missing... skier, right?
The one who's been missing at Whiteface for 5.5 days, and it's been all over the news. They just found him in Sacramento, California.
At a spa, right?
Alive
and in good health.
Yeah.
Oh, they somebody's spent, got some splaining to do.
They've spent 7,000 cumulative hours using canines and helicopters looking for this guy.
Now, his stuff was still at the lodge at Whiteface, and his car was still there, but he was in Sacramento.
Yes. So we don't know how we got there.
Oh, we will. Excuse me. Give me your phone. Give me your phone, and we'll take care of everything. I'll figure it out in about 1 hour.
Now, was his phone in the car, too?
Did not say about his phone. Yeah. But they've not said if he was in custody in Sacramento or if he faces criminal charges. They didn't say how much it cost to look for him, and they didn't say how he traveled to Sacramento.
I'm going
to
guess he flew.
I'm going to guess that. I'm going to guess that also. Man, I guess the only thing that makes him look, quote, good in this is if he was somehow kidnapped against his will and taken to California. That's about the only...
And flew first class to Sacramento?
That's about the only thing that could make him look good. Other than that, 7,000 hours spent looking for this guy, and he just shows up in California?
Could you imagine if Arnie's missing, and I miss Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's show, and I said,
Rich and Middlebury would be psyched.
Guys, I'm out in L.A. visiting my mom. I didn't know you were looking for me. I guess I should have called,
But the fact is that, I mean... Look, there may be a perfectly good explanation to this, but the fact is you can't just... I mean, he had to have just skied off the mountain and been picked up or thumbed or something.
You want to know why? Because if he didn't have a ticket to Sacramento, he probably had to buy one at the last minute. Right?
But it's
real easy to find out what the hell's going on.
He didn't tell his friends? His friends are the ones who put out the missing persons report. He just left without telling his friends?
Well, I can guarantee you the authorities will get the last laugh. Can you imagine what the bill is going to be
He's not going to pay for it, though. He doesn't have the money to pay
for
it.
No, he'll pay for it, but you know what's going to happen? I can just see this
coming. We're going to take $2 out of every paycheck?
He's going to sue and say, I didn't do anything wrong, and you've hit me with this $50,000 rescue bill.
$50,000?
Okay, I think it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, I think a lot more than $150,000.
7,000 hours cumulative. Imagine how many people's
times minimum
wages that is.
He won't be affording any trips to Sacramento anymore.
I'm like, I feel bad for that guy. Now he's in Sacramento? I mean, what the hell's going on? I want to know now.
Maybe he's a Kings fan.
I want to find out, did he use his credit cards? How'd he got the ticket? How long he's had the ticket? Come on. I'm not stupid. I may have been born at night, not last night, though. So I'll figure it out. It's not going to be tough. Law and Order, you get done in an hour.
This will be fun.
This is a 15-minute segment of Law and Order. That's
I sense a lifetime movie special in a year.
Absolutely. It's like those runaway brides. You know what I mean? You don't know what the hell happened. Next thing you know, they just took off, didn't want to get married. Brady, what did you want to get about Malcolm Jenkins?
Malcolm Jenkins, Eagles defensive back. He throwing some shade at the Patriots, too. Did you see last week when we learned that the Eagles had a, quote, fake practice inside U.S. Bank Stadium?
Yes, yes,
because
yes.
they didn't want, in case the Patriots were trying to film
they
it.
They assumed it. They didn't think. They assumed that the Patriots were just filming the practice, so they came up with a bogus practice.
Yes, so Malcolm Jenkins addressed that further.
I think there are still a lot of coaches out there that don't trust the Patriots. So paranoid, just sometimes they'll overthink it and do some fake plays in case anybody's watching.
This from a member of a team whose teammate called the Patriots a fear-based organization earlier in the week.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's not fear-based, what is?
He laughs at it, though. But why would you laugh? I mean, if I really thought that somebody was taping my practices, I'd raise holy hell,
yes.
Especially after the playoffs were over, after the Super Bowl was done. I would like to say, if everybody's so sure that the Patriots are cheating, give me some more evidence here and really nail them to the wall. I can't believe that Belichick would have the guts to even do something like that now.
I, as the Pats fan, unfortunately, looking back, it doesn't make any difference because they lost the game, but I love this. I mean, it's Super Bowl week. They've got the field to themselves, and what are they doing? Instead of practicing for the game and running plays, they're running fake plays, wasting time.
Maybe that's why they won it.
As it turns out, it didn't make much difference.
Well, Torrey Smith said they ran real plays. They ran real plays from their playbook. They just ran plays. They just also threw in some plays into practice that weren't in their game plan. So they still ran plays that they have been running all season. They just were using some decoy plays in case they were being watched. I'm with you. I think it's more of a distraction than it is being prepared, but just more people that think the Pats are cheaters.
Right, give me the latest on Malcolm Butler, too. What's going on with him? He's and did you see, what was it? Did you put out the story that to replace Butler, I don't know if I saw it on your timeline, Brady, that they were talking about Richard Sherman? Did you see that story?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
No, but we've heard.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We heard about the Pats maybe looking at Sherman in a trade last year. Now, Sherman is not a... God, I don't think he's a free agent right now. Now,
I don't know.
Injured. He's coming off a torn Achilles, so the Seahawks could cut him to save money.
Right.
But I do believe he's under contract for one more year. And I would have to look at that.
Now,
but he is a potential cut.
If he gets cut, right, and then now you're starting fresh. You don't have to get, you're not held to any expectations. And what was he making? Is he 7 mil? I don't know.
He was making... He makes 11.
Wow.
He's due for 11 if he's in Seattle.
Yeah, well, you're going to take a serious cut before you're going to come to the Patriots. We're going to wait till you get cut first. You're going to come here, and we're talking a serious decline. He may take less money to be on the Patriots. That's probably the one team he would take a lot less money for. But Richard Sherman doesn't usually do stuff like
that. He is not in significant decline. What he is now is injured. So what he is now is damaged goods, but he was still one of the top 10 corners in the league last year.
He's not still worth that money.
No, of course not. Obviously, they're not going to... If I'm the Pats, I don't even go near that. 11 mil a year guy coming. And this is a cornerback coming off of a torn Achilles. That's about the worst thing a DB can have.
Would you like him on the Patriots, Brady? Or you think he'd work out good here? I think he would clash a little bit with Belichick, no?
Well, he's already won a Super Bowl, so if he was a guy who was coming in here chasing a ring, I could see him wanting to temper. But Sherman hasn't really been a talker in the way you think of him in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Now, he did get on his coach, but as far as just being brash with the media, that hasn't been him lately. And by the way, you say, I wouldn't want Sherman in here, you do realize that he's the same age as Stephon Gilmore, who you just paid all that money to.
Right, but he also has a torn Achilles tendon.
That's kind of serious.
I don't want anybody coming off that for $11 million or even close to it.
No, I understand that, but don't tell me Gilmore's worth $15 million because he's healthy.
We never said he
was.
No, as
a matter of fact, when they signed him, didn't we? We all kind of laughed at that.
Yeah,
we all kind of laughed at that one. I interrupted you. Where did you say Malcolm Butler now? Are there teams interested in him, or what's going on there?
Well, the New York Jets are going to be one of the first suitors that are going to emerge for Malcolm Butler services.
Twice a year.
Well, I wonder why he would want to stay in the division. How many suitors are going to be for this guy?
To mention a guaranteed 5-11 record every year.
Well, they weren't as bad as we all thought they were going to be this year.
Go 6-10?
I think 5-11.
Yeah, but their over-under was like a half a game.
They were better than they were supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Everybody had them going 2-14.
And this was a year they were just, tanking anyway. They just wanted to pick to see where they were going to get a quarterback or not. Now they kind of screwed that up also. So
the Butler thing, now Todd Bowles is supposed to be a defensive guy. Butler could go there and get money. The one thing you have to wonder about, though, is the Jets are going to have to overpay to get some of these guys. They were offering Dante Hightower more money last year, and you have to sweeten the pot like that. If you're going to go to a team that's in the Patriots division and go to a team that doesn't look like winning is right on the horizon, what's the way to entice them? The way to entice them is by paying them more than everybody else. So If Butler's in it for the money grab because he's already won a title, then fine if that's what motivates him. But the Jets are going to have to overpay to try to get him out of a situation where winning is more prevalent.
I'll tell you, I don't want Butler in my division at all. That's two games. Right? Can you imagine any human being who plays football more inspired to play well against a team than Malcolm Butler is against New England? Now you've got him twice next year.
By the way, does he give us the answer once he signs with another team? Does he answer us? I'm sure he does.
I'm looking at it from the reverse. Since we don't know the answer, is that going to impact his market value? Are teams going to say, man, what did this guy do before the Super Bowl?
They'll talk in private about that.
They will talk in private, but I wonder if people are going to be leery of signing him based on what they have heard.
You know, did I tell you this? I don't know if I mentioned this to you. Do you know that the Lions asked Matt Patricia about the shirt, the Goodell clown nose? So I thought they were doing their due diligence. That just goes to show you. It goes to show you that people aren't playing games. That when you wear something like that or you do something like that, they want to know what were you thinking. And by the way, you notice how he cleaned himself up and shaved down his beard.
He knew he'd
didn't look like a hobo. You know, put up a nice suit. You know, look coachable. Look like a real coach. Did he not or what?
You will never let that go, will you?
No,
that shirt he wore.
But Brady, they asked him about it, and rightfully they should have asked him about it.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, the shirt was inappropriate. I have no problem with them asking. They should have asked. The shirt was inappropriate at the time. I think it was an immature thing. I think it's something that Rex Ryan would do, and everyone laughed at Rex Ryan.
I have to scoot out, boys.
He's got to go to Virgin's.
You got to scoot out.
Sister station down in Middlebury. Got a game tonight.
Wow.
Middlebury Milton. By the way, folks up in Milton, 92.1 FM, WVTK, Milton at Virgin's boys basketball, 7 o'clock tonight. So hopefully Shelburne Road's in some decent condition traffic-wise.
Any kids like Trimboli on the team? I'm just kidding. All right, go.
I can't wait to hear about this.
All right, Brady, what's coming up next?
Yankees, baby. Yankee spring training. I'll give you my top six storylines heading into Yankee spring training.
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Where did Rich go again?
Rich went to Virgin's.
Nobody tells me this. Nobody tells me
you
what's going on.
You weren't here yesterday.
I mean, you know what? I got to leave too. What's going on here? What's the show? Four-ish to six-ish? That's the hours of the show.
You know, Rich gets paid hourly, so we're going to have to deduct that out of his paycheck.
In the huddle, four-ish to six-ish. That from now on, that's going to be the tagline there. Four-ish to six-ish. Tune on in. Well, that's kind of slurs there, but there you go. So what's going on with the Yankees?
Hey, the Yankees are in spring training. So let's get the music right here. I'm in the mood. Let's get the mood right.
Oh, wow. You got baseball. You know, I got to tell you, pitchers and catchers, you love that. To me, it's like a stab in the eyeball with a sharp knife.
This is the best first day of
nothing.
Of a camp.
It's a day of nothing.
When's the last time you ever heard somebody celebrate NBA training camp? Never.
Never. You're right.
When's
about
the last
that.
Time you ever heard someone celebrate the first
Goalies
day of
report? No, they don't do that.
Only place where I think you get maybe a bigger buzz is
first
day of practice in
football.
The SEC.
Or, well,
NFL training camp doesn't mean as much as pitchers and catchers means. And the reason why is because we have had, by the time training camp opens, we've had OTAs, we've had the draft,
yes.
We've had rookie mini camp, we've had football already. We have had no baseball for 4 months now. This is a great
thing. So what does that mean? Pitchers and catchers show up 3 days. By the way, why do they show up 3 days early?
Because that's where
they're
the backbone
losers.
Of the team is.
They get so out of shape, they don't know what to do. Come on, man.
Come on now.
Come
really?
On.
You really don't find this day exciting?
No, I don't. I just hate it. I dread it because now I got to go through like a month and a half of exhibition baseball, preseason baseball, and the stars don't really even play they play very, you know what, one at bat, two at bats. I don't think they need to play that many preseason games. I would be happy with like 20 and move on, you know?
All right.
35.
I'm going. So Yankee spring training, I've got six big questions.
Wow.
That need
just
answering.
Six?
If you want to get in, 802-655-6672.
On the Town Fair Tire text line.
That's right. I've got my six. I'm going to start backwards. The number six biggest question that needs addressing for the Yankees in spring training.
Yes.
Can Dellin Betances get right this season, because Betances was really good at the beginning of the year last year, and then after the All-Star break, he really, really struggled to the point where they didn't even trust him in mid to late September and not at all in October. Dellin Betances fell out of favor in that bullpen. That bullpen is really, really good with or without him, but if you have a good and confident Dellin Betances, that Yankees bullpen is the best in baseball. If he is not right, though, the Yankees have a gaping hole in that bullpen, and it's one that needs correcting.
I think he's fine. He was so good, as you mentioned early, and he, what would he have? He had like about 10, I was looking up 10, like 10 saves in the postseason also, though.
Not last year, he did not.
No. I mean, overall. Did I look that up wrong? Is it not? Did I not have that stat right?
Maybe in his career. I don't have that in front of
but
me.
Just
but
just overall, though, he will, if he's fine, that's another reason why the Yankees are the front runner in that division, why there's nobody even close. They've got the starting pitching now. They'll go ahead and certainly got the hitting. I think he's just another part that is the reason why they're going to be number one.
Look, he had a great ERA overall, 2.87 last year, but he had 44 walks and 59 innings. That's a lot, and at the end of the year, he couldn't throw his fastball for a strike. He was behind in the count constantly, a number of walks and hit batsmen in that late August and into September. Girardi did not trust him. We'll see if they can get him right this season.
How many saves did he have last year?
I mean, he's not a save guy.
Right, yeah, I think he had 10. That's what I was looking at. That's my bad.
He had, last year he had 10 saves.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
So, but when you look at Canley, Robertson, and Chapman, they've already got a great bullpen. Betances makes it that much better. The number five question heading into Yankee spring training, will they make another move for a starting pitcher? That, to me, is the number five storyline. You look at it and say, well, they've got Masahiro Tanaka, who we hope is what he was at the end of last season rather than the beginning of last season. You've got Sonny Gray, who we hope was the guy pre-injury and not a guy who was injured and battled through that injury in Oakland. Then you've got Luis Severino.
Right.
You hope he's back really, really strong in his second full season as a starter. You've got those three, and then you've got CC Sabathia coming back, who we hope can replicate last season. And you've got the young kids, Jordan Montgomery, Luis Sessa, those guys. The starting rotation is good, not great. Will they address it in spring training?
Would you rather have established guy, or would you rather go with the young guy like a Montgomery or something like that?
Well, in this case, usually I would say I'd like the established guy if they're inexpensive. In this case, the Yankees only have $15 million really to spend to keep, projected of their budget before opening day. I'd like them to keep that money going into the All-Star break and try to hold it for a trade deadline acquisition rather than go and give it out now.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be pressed. I think they're going to be fine. And you know what? If they were really going to be pressed for another starting pitching, they would have gone in on the whole Yu Darvish. They didn't have the money for that either.
Well, Lance Lynn, Jake Odorizzi, those are guys that are good, and they could be of help. But I think I trust the Yankees' prospects, and I'd rather wait until towards the trade deadline to spend that extra money. Scott in Plattsburgh says Betances will be fine. A manager change will give him a fresh look. If confidence comes from the manager, then yes, that is obviously important. But Betances wasn't not right because of Girardi. We're in the huddle. Number four takeaways for the Yankees. Questions that need to be answered going into spring training. How about the young infield? I am all about the prospects. You know that. I love the prospects. The Yankees have two of the top prospects in baseball. When you look at probable starting second baseman and third baseman, Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar, I love the kids. They've got so much power around that lineup that these guys aren't going to be counted on to carry the lineup.
No, not like Devers.
So I think it's not going to be like Devers.
No.
So I think that they have an opportunity to, I don't need football music. Where'd that come from?
Wow.
It goes back
why
to baseball.
Why were you so definitive, not like Devers? Because Devers
is going to be counted on to provide power to a lineup that was last in the American League in home runs. Torres and Andujar are guys that can float around at the end of the order and just be guys. They don't have to be one of the guys.
Yep.
When you've got Stanton, when you've got Judge, when you've got Gregorius, those guys, and Sanchez, those guys take the pressure off you. But if those guys, if they both hit 220 this year, then that's a problem.
Right.
If one of them hits 300 and one hits 220, then you can be okay.
Is there a correlation between home runs and winning the division? Like the teams that, like the best five home run hitting teams, do they all make the playoffs? Or no, that so far it's not even
That is not always like that,
okay.
No. Teams that just hit the home runs don't correlate to playoff teams. You're still going to need other things in there. But Torres and Duhar, how they develop in that young infield. Will the Yankees address the infield, go sign a Mike Moustakas or something, and keep one of them out? Takeaway number three, question number three that needs to be answered. How will Giancarlo Stanton react to playing in New York? Will he stay healthy? Will he handle criticism? How will the lineup be constructed between him and Aaron Judge? Who's going to hit in front of who? I have to imagine Judge hits in front of Stanton. I think that that is something. And how does Stanton just react to being under the microscope, making all of that money with all of those expectations?
I don't think it's going to be all that bad for him. He's on a superstar team, so I don't think there'll be that much of a microscope like you're expecting.
Takeaway number two, question number two. How will Aaron Boone be in his first year, not only as a manager in New York, how will he be in his first year as a manager at all, at any level? You're not a fan of the player's manager. I am, but how does that translate? Is he able to have that better connectivity with the clubhouse that Joe Girardi reportedly lacked? What's the impact of Brian Cashman in the sabermetrics? How does he handle being the go-between between players
and
upper management?
You just said it, though. You don't have to do any of that when you're the manager. I was going to say to you, Brady, is he going to run more? Is he going to be more aggressive? He won't call any of that. They have it. It's all numbers now. When's the best time to run on a 2-1 count against this pitcher? He doesn't even make the lineups.
No, he's going to make the lineups.
No, the lineups, they're like made from the front office based on computer numbers and stuff like that, Brady. You don't even have to struggle on that.
You still have to be the in-game manager. You still have to figure out which pitcher's coming in, when to take a guy out, when do you take the ball from him, when do you give the ball to this guy or that guy or that guy, and who's banged up. He's going to have some more to do than you think.
Yeah, it's like Southwest Airlines with the ding. You hear a ding on your pad going, pitching change is what they'll do.
How does Aaron Boone handle being a first-year manager? And question number one heading into Yankee spring training for the 2018 prohibitive favorites in the AL East. Aaron Judge, what does he do for an encore, okay? Rookie of the year, great year last year. Is it possible for him to be better than he was a season ago? We don't know. We'll have to see. But if Aaron Judge, if the tape comes out on him and he hits 237 with 23 homers only, then the Yankees' great offense isn't so great. Can he possibly get better, be more consistent, hit 300, hit 52 homers, drive in 125 with Stanton? If he does that, then the Yankees may win the World Series.
Over under on home runs for him, 45. What would you bet?
I'm going to say over because I think Stanton's going to hit behind him. And I think he's going to get more. With Stanton hitting behind him, he's going to get more fastballs and more things to hit.
My question is, you say Stanton's the reason why he gets more home runs. Could be Stanton be the reason why he gets less home runs?
Well, don't want to pitch to Stanton.
Suppose they do want to pitch to Stanton, but Stanton's not off to a good start. They walk Judge and they pitch to Stanton. Am I the thinking backwards here? No?
Well, if Stanton is stinking.
Not stinking, but they'd rather
face
it.
Then you would just flip-flop him, wouldn't you? And put Judge behind Stanton then?
I guess so. I guess so, yeah.
I mean, Judge led the league last year in runs scored. He led the league in home runs with 52. He led the league in walks with 127. He hit 284. I mean, you can only go so far up. If he hit what?
Wow.
Can he hit 55 homers, bring in 120, hit 300? If he does that, the Yankees might win the World Series.
He could be better on the RBIs. With 52 home runs, you should have more than 114 RBIs, though, shouldn't
you? If he regresses with the tape out on him and, again, hits 240, then the Yankees' offense isn't as good. What will Aaron Judge do for the encore? That's my biggest question heading into Yankee spring training.
I don't know if he'll hit higher than 284. That surprised me.
The thing will be the consistency, I think. Remember last year, we struck out like 35 consecutive games at one point and went completely cold. Can he hit 285, 290, where it's more consistent rather than streaky?
Right,
we'll do the Red Sox tomorrow.
Right. Last story standing was a story I sent you about University of Vermont and the NCAA tournament. Did you see that?
Yes, because someone's already tweeted it to me today.
Wow. All right, well, so we'll get to that last story standing right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lakers. It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, I saw the NCAA projections, on, I don't know whose projection.
I think it was CBS.
CBS. I was floored when I saw this. This was my biggest nightmare. They have UVM seated as a number 11, which is really, really high, to be honest with you.
And Anthony Lamb might be back.
Yeah, I just didn't think that, though, they would ever have UVM up. I thought maybe 12 or 13 is the highest.
They got a 13 last
year. Yeah, they did get a 13, but I thought they should have been higher last year. Playing my Arizona Wildcats, who they have as a number 6 seed coming out of the Pac-12. Could you imagine my Arizona Wildcats against UVM, and Arizona has the possible number 1 pick in the NBA draft on their team, the 7-foot.
Mo Bamba?
Wait, no, is that his name? Antonin.
Mo Bamba's somebody else.
Yeah, that's somebody
else. There's a guy from Texas who. Yeah.
No, he's a 7-footer, and we're inconsistent, so it might even be a good game.
You're not. They are.
What? Well,
Now, our team is inconsistent.
By the way, how many points over on the 3.5 for me tonight?
Under.
I went because I keep going on the overs every time you set this. I had 8 points last game.
So. I think you're getting 0 tonight. No offense.
Against Trimboli?
Yeah, I think he's going right after you.
I was going to say over under double digits against that guy.
No shot in hell.
If you listen to me, give me the ball when I post his little butt up and see if he can stop me. And let me tell you something. If we have Sammy as the referee, things will go my way. I'll get the call on that. So I feel good. Over under 3.5, and you're putting me down on the under.
Yeah, I'm putting you way down on the under.
What's coming
zero.
Up? What's coming up at Champaign Valley game night?
Well,
tonight?
We're going to do a little Olympic knowledge here. Patrick Weaver of the UVM ski team is going to join us and clear up because I have no idea what I'm watching when I watch the Olympics.
Nothing.
I have no idea what I watch when I watch skiing.
That's okay. I don't know what the hell I'm watching either, but I watch it with the sound down. So who cares? That coming up next. I'm gonna bounce this guy tonight, so I'm going to show up. I'm feeling a little bit
better. The game's at 9. Can you even stay awake that long?
Wow. That's a late game.
Yeah.
I may take a nap when I get home, and then I'll go to the game. For Rich, who left like an hour ago, for Brady, I'm Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.